praise you for the ministry of the preaching of your word. And Lord, there's a reason we preach your word. It's able to encourage believers, and it's able to give life to those who do not yet believe. And I pray that both of those things would happen here today, Lord, that your word would perform that supernatural work. And thank you for accomplishing this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. The United States dollar started in 1786 when it was approved by the Continental Congress. This is the origin of the bills that you have maybe in your wallet or your purse today. I hold in my hand an American dollar. It's not a $1 bill, but it's a $10 bill. And since the founding of this currency, many people have tried to make counterfeit money. The most well-known counterfeit bill is a $100 bill known as the Super Dollar, the Super Dollar. It was not made by the American government, but by an unknown source, likely a foreign country who is simply trying to duplicate the American currency. This counterfeit $100 bill was in circulation from the late 1980s to the year 2000, before it disappeared. So the question is, how do you recognize real money from fake money? Well, I did some research this week, and I'm going to give you a few ways that you can recognize real money from fake money. Real money is made from cotton, not from trees. Counterfeit money is made from trees. That's what counterfeiters do, is they try to duplicate it. They try to get it as close as they can. Secondly, genuine money is thinner than counterfeit because real money is pressed in a way that can only be done at the United States Treasury where they make these bills. It's pressed very hardly. Thirdly, if you compare a bill with another of the same series, you will see you'll see how similar they are, and you will see that they are not a fake. Real money is printed in a way that cannot be replicated, and those who counterfeit will be unable to perfectly replicate the bill if you get these multiple copies together to see which one is real and which one is fake. So you have counterfeit money, and you have real money. And by the way, there's a lot more ways than just those that I just listed to recognize real money from fake money, but I'm not going to bore you with all the ways this morning. This is not economics class. This is a sermon. So as we jump in here, the reason I bring up counterfeit money and real money is because there's counterfeit theology, and there's real theology. There's counterfeit doctrine, and there's real doctrine. And we see it everywhere in the world. It's not hard to come across false teaching. And those who take part in counterfeit money harm those to whom they give this money. People think they're getting real money when they actually get fake money. Those people are harmed by that. In the same way, people who receive false teaching are being harmed by false teachers who spread these lies to them. This sermon today is about true religion and false religion, true teaching and false teaching. We are going to look at the counsel of the Apostle John to churches who were ravaged by false teaching. Our sermon text this morning is 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. First John 2:18 through 27. And if you're using a Red Pew Bible, it's on page 1021. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This sermon this morning and this text that we're looking at here this morning is calling you to continue in the truth that you heard from the beginning. Continue in the truth you heard from the beginning. And there are three ways how that I'm going to show you from this text. The first way how is by spotting false teachers from a mile away. By spotting false teachers from a mile away. Now the Apostle John is, of course, talking to people who look up to him. He's like a spiritual father to these people to whom he's speaking. And that's why in verse 18 he calls them children. It's appropriate that he calls them children. And what we are going to see in this text is that John is concerned about these teachers who are in the church, who are teaching false doctrine. And John, as a spiritual father, is concerned about the welfare of these people who are in these churches, which is why he addresses them in this way. And John tells them what Jesus warned his disciples about long before in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24. And what John is saying here is that teachers are coming. False teachers are coming. And when they come, you will know that it is the last days. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? He says that many false Christs and false prophets will appear, and they will do all of these things to try to pull you after them. Well, John is saying here, if you look at this, he says, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Now, when John says last hour here, he is referring to the end. He is referring to the last days. And a question we always ask is, are we in the last days? Well, the answer is yes, we are in the last days. Because when the New Testament was written, they were in the last days. And we're 2,000 years later, and we're in the last days. And that's because the Old Testament looked forward to the Messiah. And the Messiah came, in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, that inaugurated the last times, this new age. And now we await for Christ to return. So we are living in the last days, and we have been for quite some time. The New Testament warns about the coming of the Antichrist, who is also known as the Beast of Revelation. He's the little horn in Daniel, as we just saw, as we went through that sermon series. And when it says here in verse 18 that Antichrist is coming, this is referring to this final political ruler who will rule a one-world government one day. So John makes a passing reference to him. And if you were coming to church today and you thought this sermon was going to be about this man, I don't mean to disappoint you, but it's not about him today, okay? It's actually about antichrists, plural, precursors to this final one-world ruler. These are the people whom John is concerned about that have made their way into these churches. So who are these false teachers? What do they believe? Where do they come from? There are a few hints in this passage and elsewhere in this letter that fill in some of the details. The first is where they come from. We know that they come from the Christian community. You notice that here in verse 19? It says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Okay, so they come from us. And this is consistent with other teaching in the New Testament. Where do false teachers come from? They typically come from within the church. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30 say, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So these false teachers came from within. We know that these false teachers, that these are false teachers because they did not continue in the true teaching that these churches taught. The true teaching that came straight from Jesus Christ, that was passed down to the apostles, and that was passed down to these churches. These teachers abandoned that teaching. And the theme of the sermon series is assurance of salvation. We've been talking about that for several weeks now. And one of the marks that you are a true believer is if you continue with the faith, by continuing with the church community, with the true church. Unbelievers do not continue. The test of time is a great mark of genuine belief to know whether you are truly saved. Many people jump ship, and that's because they weren't saved. They weren't saved in the first place. And if they were saved, as John says here, they would have continued with us, but they didn't, to prove that they were not one of us. So be encouraged today that you have continued with the church that is built on the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only did these false teachers leave the church, they started teaching twisted things. Okay, so it's one thing to leave the church. It's another thing to actually start teaching something false. And so what these people did was doubly bad. Okay. Now look with me here at verses 22 and 23. We're going to learn one thing about what these teachers believed. So we're skipping 20 and 21, and we're going to go down to 22 and 23. It says, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son." Okay? No one who denies the Father has... No one who denies the Son has the Father. So, one thing we know about these teachers is that they denied that Jesus is the Christ. And what we learn in 1 John 4, 2 is that these teachers also denied that Jesus had come into the... had come in the flesh. They denied that he had a real body. They thought that he appeared to have a real body, but he didn't really have a real body. There were all of these heresies that were around in the early church. And that's why your theology of Christ is really important. All these teachings were false. And we don't know what specifically this teaching was called, but we know that they were off the mark when it came to who Jesus was and what the Bible said about who he was. Okay? And what you will notice in the second half of verse 22 is that if you deny Jesus, you deny the Father also. The only people on planet Earth who believe in the one true God, the creator of all things, are those who believe in Jesus. Okay, I know that's an exclusive claim, but it's a true claim, which is why we say that from this pulpit. If you don't know Jesus, you do not know God. Plain and simple. And a correct view of Jesus is described in Scripture. A lot of people think they know who Jesus was. You know, was he just a Jewish teacher? Was he a teacher like Gandhi? It's like, no, Jesus is far different from that. He's unlike anyone else in the history of the world. And we need to understand who Jesus truly is. In the second half of verse 23, John writes that those who confess the Son have the Father also. So if you believe in the Jesus of Scripture, the true Jesus, you believe in the one true God. And true believers have the ability to spot false teaching when it comes. You know, something smells fishy. Something doesn't seem quite right. I'm sure you've had that experience. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't add up. And you know that you need to run from that. Several months ago, I was on the internet, which, by the way, be very careful about the internet. There's lots of bad teaching on the internet. There's probably more bad than there is good on the internet. But I encountered this teaching on there where this lady was running this website, and it was about the true calendar of God that is found in Scripture. And if you look hard enough, you will find this calendar, and you will, you know, in that way you will be following God somehow. And I'm thinking the whole time, like, this doesn't add up, because God cares about the heart. Okay, Old Testament and New Testament, God cares about the heart. He doesn't care about little things like that, getting a calendar right. And by the way, the calendar wasn't right anyways, but it seemed kind of fishy. It seemed like they were spending all their time on something that wasn't that important, okay? The focus wasn't the gospel. The main thing is about the Bible. The main thing is about the Christian faith. And so I actually emailed this lady and said, so where are you theologically? And she sent me an email back, and it turned out she denied the gospel. She denied basic things about the Bible. And so my radar that sensed something fishy going on here was actually correct. And she confirmed that to me by saying that. And I, you know what? I said to her, I said, you are a false teacher. And I said it very plainly. And it's okay to offend someone sometimes when you do that, okay? Because she is causing destruction. She's leading people astray. And she needs to know that, okay? And you know what? These teachers, this is one of many. There's lots of them out there. They are going to hell. And I say that with all seriousness. These people are in great danger. Because not only are they going to hell, but they're leading people down this path. And 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 6 talks about these people. It says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And then later on it says, Sodom and Gomorrah, God's destruction of those cities, is a demonstration of what is going to happen to the ungodly, including the false teachers. And that's what Peter describes later on here. So smell false teaching from a mile away and run from it. Don't be one of those people who brings it out of the church. Because remember what I said earlier, it comes from within the church. And continue in the true teaching you heard from the beginning. Okay, so that's the first way how you must continue in the true teaching, by spotting false teachers from a mile away. The second way how you must continue in the true teaching you heard from the beginning is by holding tightly to what you already know. Holding tightly to what you already know. Look with me at verses 20 and 21. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Now John goes from describing these false teachers to talking directly to the true Christians in these churches. It mentions that they have been anointed by the Holy One. And I believe this to be the Holy Spirit, because the consistent way this this anointing is described throughout Scripture is that this is a work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And this term anointing is prevalent all throughout Scripture. And John describes that all believers have this anointing. So when you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And so you have this anointing. It's the indwelling of the Spirit. And what John is telling these people is that they already have knowledge. Okay? So what does he mean by knowledge? And what he means by knowledge is that they already have the gospel. They already know the gospel. They've been taught it and they've believed it. And this is something they don't need to learn again because they already know. Okay, it doesn't mean you shouldn't preach the gospel to yourself, but this is something you need to bank on what you heard from the beginning, okay? This is no new teaching. You already know this. And so he is not insulting their intelligence, but affirming them in their knowledge of the truth. And John, like any good pastor, is trying to encourage them in what they already know. So often we need to be reminded what we already know because we easily forget things. I feel like every morning we need to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Recently, you know, as you just saw when Andy was up here, I graduated from seminary, and I've been thinking a lot about what the future is going to be, and in that time, it's really important to trust God. And God providentially led me to the book, Trusting God, by Jerry Bridges, which is an outstanding book, and I recommend it to all of you. And in this book, Jerry Bridges talks about the sovereignty of God, how God is over every detail of our life. And this is something that I always need to be reminded about. And this book has been a great help to me right now, to be reminded that he's over every detail of my life, and he's over every detail of your life. So the reason I explained Jerry Bridges' book is because I need to be reminded of that, and we need to be reminded of the gospel, too. And John is reminding them here, you already have this knowledge. That's what he's telling them. And John is telling them that he is not teaching them the truth for the first time. They have already believed this, but he's simply reminding them of this. And then look with me at verse 24 here, where John says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. John is emphasizing when you heard this truth. And what does it say when you heard it? You heard it from the beginning. All of us can remember when we first heard about Jesus. I was in my sister's bedroom when I was 4 years old. My mom shared Christ with me for the first time during that time. And all I remember about it is that they were talking about Satan. And I was scared. You know, as a kid, you're scared of you know, the boogeyman and all these evil things. And I knew that Satan was real. I believed it. And then she told me about Jesus. And I was like, oh, well, I want to be with him. It was that simple. But I remember hearing about Jesus then. And this church has faithfully taught the Bible to me my whole life for 29 years. And for this, I'm very grateful. And all of you can remember when you first heard the gospel. And John is calling you to remember from whom you heard it. And this, what you heard from the very beginning, you need to continue in. And so now you may ask, how do I know what I have been taught is accurate? How do you know what true teaching is? Have you ever asked that? How do you know what true teaching is? Well, what does the Bible say? Okay? When we preach from this pulpit, you should only agree with and only follow what the Bible says, okay? And I think what you will find is that what we teach from this pulpit is what the Bible says. And so this is a true church, and we preach the true gospel here, okay? So all of us need to be students of God's word to know what is truth and what is error. And after studying the Bible for many years in my own life, on my own time, and then through school, I know, I have 100% confidence that this is a true church of Jesus Christ. And so we are very blessed to have this church that teaches true doctrine. And as we look at this passage again here, you have to follow John's logic here. If you abide in the teaching, you abide in the Son, and in the Father. That's what he says here. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. So if you continue following what this says, then you are following God and you are abiding in him. Okay? So to abide in him is to believe this teaching, to follow this teaching that comes from Scripture. And then in verse 25, John explains the benefit of continuing in this communion, with Jesus and the Father. What does he say here in verse 25? And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Okay? Believing in Jesus in this life doesn't just benefit you for this life. And it does benefit you in this life, but it benefits you forever. This life and when you die, and you're in God's presence forever. Eternal life is a theme that the Apostle John covers over and over again in his gospel. And remember the account with Jesus and Lazarus, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11? When Jesus is talking to Martha, he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Okay, so Jesus is saying here, even if you have a physical death, which most of us will, unless Christ returns, that's the only death you're going to have. The second death described in Revelation does not apply to you. That's a spiritual death that applies to all unbelievers who have rejected Christ and who die in their sin. But this eternal life belongs to Christians, to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus and are saved. So continue in this truth and know that if you do, you have eternal life. You have it now and you have it forever. And your death is just a bump in the road in that. And actually, when you die, it's better. Because Paul says it's far better to be with the Lord than to be here. And that life goes on forever. This is the hope that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the second way how you must continue in the truth you heard from the beginning, by holding tightly to what you already know. The third way how is by being suspicious of new teaching. By being suspicious of new teaching. Look with me, please, at verses 26 and 27, where John writes, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." John reiterates why he is writing. He is writing to warn them about these false teachers. These teachers are bringing in new teaching. And any time new teaching is brought in, the red flag should go straight up, okay? Have eyes for that. And I say that as your pastor. We live in a very messed up world. It's a dangerous place out there. Beware of new teaching. It's all over the place. Don't trust it. And look, I'm going to look here again at second half of verse 21 where it says, "But because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." What this means is that the original apostolic message that comes straight from Jesus Christ, the eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, of his life and his ministry and his death and his resurrection, these are the people who wrote the New Testament. And their teaching is consistent from beginning to end. Okay? This false teaching did not spring up from them. It sprang up from someone else who brought it in at a later time. Okay? And the teaching you receive here in Mount Free Church, if you trace the line, it goes straight back to Jesus. This is the apostolic witness at Mount Free Church. Okay? And that's what we are teaching. This is not a new teaching. We don't preach new ideas to you here. Okay? We preach old ones. But the old ones that we preach here are the right ones. And it's the truth. Okay? Don't go to a church that teaches new ideas that abandons the apostolic witness. Okay? That's my That's my plea with you, okay? Because the teaching of Jesus Christ and the people whom he passed on his teaching to, the apostles, is 100% pure. And if you follow this teaching, you will never be in error. So be suspicious of new teaching. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. What we teach in this pulpit is the apostles' teaching. And down through history, many teachings have sprung up. Many new teachings have sprung up. And we know about these. Islam started in the 7th century AD. And what Islam teaches about Jesus is false. They say that Jesus did not die on the cross. We know that that is false. And that's a new teaching that sprang up 600 years after the life of Christ. And not only that, but Jehovah's Witnesses, that actually started, I think, in the 19th century. This is not an old teaching, but it's a false teaching about Jesus. They deny that Jesus is God. That is false teaching. We know about Mormons. Mormons teach that you can become God yourself. And that should bring up a red flag, because that should take you straight to Genesis chapter 3 that says, or where Satan is talking to Adam and Eve, and he says to them, you can become like God if you eat this fruit, okay? That should be a red flag. You should run from that. And even Roman Catholicism. Now, Roman Catholicism isn't in the same category as Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, but it is in a category where they have teaching that sprang up at a later point that is not New Testament teaching, that does not come from the apostles, okay? Things like the Pope, the Mass, transubstantiation, things like that came up at a later point. And there are some things that we share with the Roman Catholic Church that we should be grateful for, and I don't want to minimize that. But there is a teaching there that is destructive that we need to be aware of. So these religions that I mentioned, these are not teachings of the apostles, okay? Satan has inspired these false teachings. And what these teachings say about Jesus is false. Their teachings are foreign to the New Testament. And in verse 27, John says, they have no need of a teacher. Okay, and this is the verse where pastors get scared because they think people aren't going to want to listen to them. You have no need for a teacher. Okay, that's not what it's saying. Okay, what it's saying is you have no need for new teachers who teach something different than what you've already heard to come to you. That's what that means. You have no need for false teachers. Okay, and if you ever suspect a false teacher, do not listen to their teaching. They will only hurt you. As John says here, they are antichrists. Okay, plural. They are antichrists. Abide in the teaching that you heard from the beginning and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher you have. And when he says here, you've been anointed by the Holy One, and it says here, you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and there's no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. Okay, so you're, the two safeguards against false teaching are the apostolic witness, the true teaching that you hear from this pulpit. That's one. The second is the Holy Spirit. As he illuminates the scripture, as you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one who shows you the truth, okay? And he shows you the error in the world. Those are your two teachers. And that's the teaching that you need to continue in. So continue in the truth you heard from the beginning by smelling false teachers from a mile away, by holding tightly to what you already know, and by being suspicious of new teaching. Be encouraged that you are surrounded by people who know and love the truth. It's a great thing to be in a community like this. And continue down that path, and you can be certain that you are counted among those who have eternal life. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you for Jesus Christ and the teaching that he passed down that we have. And Lord, in your sovereign purposes, there you have false teachers. And it's frustrating from our perspective when they come. But we know, Lord, that as it says in 2 Peter, that their destruction is not idle. And they will be destroyed for bringing this destructive teaching into the church. And I pray that you would protect Mount Free Church from this teaching, from any teaching that would stray from the true gospel and who Jesus really is. And we thank you, Lord, for the clear picture that the New Testament gives about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray this. Amen.